Greetings, everyone. It's nice to see everybody, and I see we have a few guests. Nice to have you here, too. Now, you have to make sure you keep smiling. It keeps me happy. But I'm here to help each one be happy that he was here today. I have a funny story to tell. It happened a number of years ago when Roma and I were in England. And it's an example of looking at details and being perceptive to differences. I'm going to slide this back just a little bit here. There we go. This was in England, and we were up at just south of Stonehenge. We were in the city of Salisbury, and we went to a bed and breakfast, and I met this woman, and she explained that her son was in the British Air Force, and he was actually stationed at that moment in time down in Yuma, Arizona, and he was at the gunnery range. So here, this British pilot was back in the States, and I'm all excited. And so I asked her, I said, "Well, what's your name?" And she said, "Mrs. White." I looked, and I thought, "White." I'm trying to spell this in my mind. So I asked her, I said, "Well, how do you spell White? I want to write this down." She says, "W-H-I-T-E, White." Now, I chuckle at that because I saw in a program or movie years ago when U.S. and British soldiers were in Korea, and the Brits said, well, they haven't spoken English in America in over 200 years. So we have to be attentive to details. I have another example, when I was on a job. And you just have to pay attention. Like if you have a boss here and he tells you to do something, you do it the way he said, because there's a certain protocol. Well, as a chemist, I had to analyze mercury samples. And normally, we analyze mercury samples down to 0.2 parts per billion. Now, that's a real small amount. But on this new test, it was clean room mercury. And we had to analyze down to 0.2 parts per trillion. That's 1,000 times lower than 0.2 parts per billion. Whoa, so what do you do? First of all, you're very careful about what you do. There's a certain procedure. There's a protocol. There's a lot of little details that you have to follow. And if you don't follow it, your results could be in question. You have to wear a clean room. We used to call them bunny suits. You'd look like a white bunny. And we have a blue hat. I liked the blue hats. They used to call me the Smurf chemist. So I'd wear this blue hat and blue gloves. And in order to get into the clean room, you had to go into a pre-clean room. And in that place, you had maybe 100 particles per cubic feet per minute in the air that you could measure. In the clean room itself, it was like 10 parts per billion. And you put all this equipment on, and you went in there, and you followed these exacting procedures. Well, we got this test, and it was from the EPA, and they say, analyze this unknown and tell us what the results are. So I did that. When we got the results back, I was shocked. I had never seen my results so bad. I came up with an answer of 50 parts per trillion. Like, what in the world is going on here? And I couldn't figure out what went wrong. So I went back inside, went into the clean room, and I tried to walk myself through the steps. And then it dawned on me, I was not paying attention to the details. Either I was listening on the radio, listening to the news, and that gets me upset, or I was thinking about things that happened in the past. That might get me upset. Things that might take place in the future, and that got me upset. But either way, I got distracted. And instead of putting in one set of samples one shot from a pipetter, I put in two. Now, they don't like it when you fail a test for the EPA because it calls all your other data into question. But thankfully, I was able to figure out what the problem was. So this is an example of paying attention to details. We must not lose focus, especially as Christians. Don't lose focus. Biblically, we read things in the Bible, we hear things, and we study things according to the commands of God. And sometimes we read through the Scripture and said, I don't know what that's all about. We stumble over small things sometimes. In the Bible, you could read the Bible. If you're in the Bible reading program and you've gone through Numbers, and you've gone through Kings and Chronicles and many other places, it gets very laborious and very difficult to understand. Like, why is this in here? You may not have something to do with each of those things every single day, but they're in there for a reason. And when you think about things that we do, about the details of life, about how you start your car and you do other things, there's certain things to look for. There's physical things, but there are many, many spiritual things. And the title of this message is Attention to Details. Spiritually, we as physical humans have a tendency to do things our way and incrementally diminish what God would have us to do. And we could see this in society as society drifts further and further away from God. Let's turn to Numbers 4:11 and look at one of the examples of what might seem like laborious detail. Numbers 4:11. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of the service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with covering of badger skins, and put them on carrying beams. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. We're going to read down a few more verses. They shall put on all its implements with which they minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and all the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. A lot of detail. And verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. Notice those words, come to carry them. But they shall always, when you read the word but, look for something. Something important may be coming down. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. That was not their prerogative to do anything except to carry the items and not to touch. So there was a way to carry the holy items with the poles. So we see that there's a certain procedure and there's detail that must be followed. We see this repeated over and over in the Bible. Now, when you think about those physical things, you now think, what about us as individuals, those called of God, those things that are spiritual, what about those? Ought we not to look at things in greater detail and understanding? As a people and as Christians, the more we look, the more we look around us as a nation, we see a nation in decline. Terrible, horrible decline. And I dare say most of you that have been around for 50 or more years, you've probably never seen the likes of what is going on. And there will be some examples that I'll have. One author called it slouching towards Gomorrah. And that reminds me of a scripture. You don't have to turn there. Scripture 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who are afterward would live ungodly. So we see there's lots of examples in the Old Testament for those living even today. You just can't toss out 3/4 of the Bible. Also in society today, increasingly we see and we hear, we observe a society that minimizes sin. Proverbs 18:5 out of Young's Living Translation has this to say, acceptance of the face of the wicked is not good. To turn aside the righteousness or the righteous in judgment. The nation is turning aside from doing what is right more and more. And unless you're focused, it will pull you down with it. Many years ago, I had a few favorite newspapers. As time went on, I developed in my own mind the thought pertaining to, probably as much as 10 years ago, all the news that's unfit to print. When have we gotten something straight? And things just continue in decline as more and more people accept evil of this age. I'm going to read this next scripture out of my notes because it comes from the New Living Translation, and I like the way it is presented. Proverbs 28:2. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But with wise and knowledgeable leaders, there is stability. And we could see that. We could see that in the book of Judges. When they did things right, when they listened to a good judge, Israel stood ground. But when he went away, when the judge went away, Israel went into decline. The more I read news and the more I hear news, and I know Roma often gets exasperated every time I tell her something different or new, it's just amazing. You shake your head. There was a poll done at a college, and they said, what do you think about abortion? Would it be okay to abort a child in the fourth trimester? Fourth trimester? What is that? That is after the baby is born. Ironically, quite a number of kids signed that, not knowing what they were doing. Unfortunately, some probably knew what they were doing. But this is a future generation. We're in trouble. A newscaster, very popular news program, she said, when does life begin? I submit the answer depends an awful lot on the feeling of the parents. A feeling. Some are advancing abortion after the birth of a child up to 3 years old. Wow. That's a whole lot further than Roe versus Wade. Back, what, about 50 years ago? In the May-June 2013 Good News Magazine, there was an article were part of an article entitled Child Sacrifice. We're not so different today. With that in mind, let's turn to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. A lot of people look back and think, well, they were terrible in those days. We're advanced. We're cultured. Are we? Consider what's been done over the last 50 years. Consider what may partake in the future. Who makes that choice about killing that three-year-old? Or then again, well, they're not functional. They can't sustain life by themselves. Well, not too many over a certain age can do that either. And I sometimes wonder about myself. Am I on a hit list somewhere? Jeremiah 32 and verse 32. Jeremiah 32:32. Now let's skip that. Let's go straight to 34. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it, and they built the high places of Baal, which are the valley, are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now notice this: to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind that they should do such an abomination, to cause Judah to sin. In verse 36, now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you said, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. How close are we to the end when we do things to such a degree? Let's turn also to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. Second Kings 23 and verse 9. Nevertheless, the priest of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of Sun, of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. They sacrificed their children to false gods. We sacrifice children to false idols in the name of freedom, liberty. Anything you want to do is okay with me. Just don't hurt me. Anciently, Pharaoh tried to kill the firstborn. He suffered the consequence. Herod heard that there was a child to become a king, and he killed people, according to Matthew, in a little town. Let's consider something concerning the details in so many of the chapters of the Bible. For example, the words fine linen and linen appear over 90 times in the scriptures. Just a mere detail, or is there a lesson to be learned here? Is there more to this than meets the eye? More to this than at first glance? What applies to us? Does this apply to us in any way? Consider the depth of what this might mean. What about that word linen? Do we just gloss over that word and move on to something that may read more comfortably to us? Let's turn to Revelation 19, Revelation 19, 5 to 8. Revelation 19. Verse 5, Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you, his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunders, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." And verse 8, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Look at the details. They're important in our lives. In a world of struggle and strife, in danger, anger, harshness, we seek courage and strength from God. Let's turn to Psalm 51. I will read this out of my notes. Psalm 51, verse 9. Psalm 51, verse 9. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." If we get so bogged down in this world, society, in this fighting and this squabbling, something leaves you. You do not have a steadfast spirit anymore. It says, continuing in verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." That can easily happen if we're not careful, if we don't have attention to detail. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse 15. Deuteronomy 30:15. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." In verse 17, "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods," as we do today, though we call them not gods, a lot of people claim they don't believe in God, but they have science, they have other material possessions as a god in their lives, "and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish if we do such." And it'll be so easy to get caught up if we're not careful and if we're not focused on the details of what God would have us to do. Deuteronomy 31:29 has this to say, and it's a warning for all time. "For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days." This is latter days back then, but it's also latter days today. There are parallels. "Because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." There was a message recently on, I think it was Cincinnati East, and it was July 13th by Steve Myers. It was called "Stumbling Block or a Building Block." And it asks the question, what are you, a stumbling block or a building block? I'd like to give a little example of a stumbling block. Years ago, I was in Israel, and I toured Masada. We went up by the tram, and then thought, well, this would be great. Let's just run down the hill. So we're running down the hill, and I'm taking my time, and this guy comes zipping by me, and I'm looking at him like, you better be careful. You're going to fall. Guess what happened to me? I got towards the bottom, and I tripped on a little stone, probably about the size of my thumb. And I landed on my knee and got a gash in there, which later got infected. I went into the Dead Sea, and it hurt. People say you pour salt on a wound, and it will sting from here to forever. And it hurt, and it hurt. And I thought, well, that's surely got to make it get better. Well, no, it still got infected later, and I still have a scar to show it, to show where it's at and what happened. I wasn't paying attention to the trail. I didn't see that rock, and my feet were getting wobbly at the time, and crash. And what else did I do? I jammed my index finger on my left hand. I jammed my telephoto lens into the ground, and I felt bad about the telephoto lens, not so much the finger, but a year later, my finger was still hurting, and my telephoto lens was already repaired. I wasn't careful. I wasn't paying attention to detail. Isaiah 57. Let's turn there. Isaiah 57:14. Oh, I'm going to read this one out of my notes because it's from the New Living Translation. And Isaiah 57:14, it says, God says, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks. I thought this applied to my previous story. Clear away the rocks and stones so my people can return from captivity. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. The Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. We live in a nation that is not repentant, but we have friends. We in the church should have repentance, should be willing to humble ourselves before our God. And in doing so, we pay attention to what God would have us to do. Today, society is like it says in Deuteronomy 13:1-6. I'll read that out of my notes also. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, verse 2, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. A good friend might tell you, I know this secret. I know this prophecy. I know this. This is good. This really is good. what they're doing. Oh yeah, you don't understand the situation with those 3-year-olds. You know, they don't understand. They're not ready for life. Well, I thought about that a long time ago, and I often wondered, what would they do, what would I do if I was thrown naked into the Alaska tundra in the middle of winter? I am not viable. I will not survive. I am not a survivalist. I wouldn't know what to do. No weapons, no nothing. I would die. That has nothing to do whether a person lives or dies as to whether they're able to take care of themselves. And continuing, you shall walk after the Lord our God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. That's not for us to do. God will take care of those situations in the future, in his time. He shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God. We've read before in other scriptures that say people were upset because you wouldn't go carousing and fooling around like they did. When I was younger, I had to learn, don't go with the crowd that just wants to drink and have what they call were fun. Was fun? No, it wasn't fun. I didn't think it was fun. I turned away from it. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, a type of sin, and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you away from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. How do you explain that to a child when others want to draw him into a pact with them to do evil? Many people here, other places, they believe in the Sabbath. This is important. But what about fellowship? God would like us to interact with one another. We learn, we grow from each other. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We don't drift from one thing to another thing. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God wants us to succeed. Are we willing and ready to stand fast? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. 2 Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. Not everyone will be patient with you, but we can be patient and calm and long-suffering, showing a right example. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Facebook is a wonderful place, but there's so many fables being perpetrated there. You name the doctrine and somebody's pushing it. And the good is sometimes you have to squeeze through. And it's so hard to see it at times. Somebody says something, then all of a sudden they put a little twist on it and they've changed it. It went from good to bad. And they turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That obviously was speaking to Timothy, and fulfill your ministry. But in many, many ways, it applies to each of us as we have interaction with people around us. We are a small people. We are a weak people in many ways, but we need to maintain that attention to details. We need to follow the scriptures carefully to get the right answers. And we, with the knowledge and understanding that we have, and I'm drawing this to a close, if you want the correct spiritual answers, then remove wrongdoing from your life. There may just be a little thing, but don't let it be a wedge. And follow the way of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all things. We look forward to beautiful days ahead following the storm of this current life. Here's what it says in Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. One more scripture, a final scripture as I close. Now this is real hope for the future. And I read this and I think it's all going to come together for the good. And this is out of Isaiah 19. And I'm going to skip a few verses, but Isaiah 19, verse 12. Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has purposed against what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. And in verse 19, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord on its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors. That time is not yet. Look at Egypt now. It is an absolute mess, going downhill rapidly. And it continuing, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior. And a mighty one, and he will deliver them. This is not samadhi coming from somewhere. And in that day, verse 23, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come to Egypt, into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria. A blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. The world will have peace, unity, and harmony. And that's some of the details you could draw from Scripture.